This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
A quarter of a mile to go. Pat Valenzuela hasn't moved. I think the Derby's over. Sunday Silence is going to romp. It's Sunday Silence by five. Music Mercy, Flying Continental. But it's Sunday Silence. Pat Valenzuela has the whip on him, but he can put it away because Sunday Silence is in a class of his own. And he's going down to the wire to win it by a distance. What an impressive winner Sunday Silence was. Flying Continental second. Music Mercy was third.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with Bob Nastanovich. We've got a dozen races from around the country to talk about tonight, Bob, including some major points qualifiers on the road to the Kentucky Derby, the Bluegrass at Keeneland, Wood Memorial at Aqueduct, and the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby.
Yeah, Bob, this week and, of course, last week, you know, loaded shows, outstanding stakes racing. You know, of course, whereas most eyes are going to be focused on Kentucky with the opening of Keeneland this week and all the excitement as we lead up to the Oaks and Derby, there's still some very significant races to be held at both Santa Anita and Aqueduct.
Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's that easy. AmWager is a wagering platform that's loaded with valuable tools and features, including odds charts, odds predictions, and much more. You'll also get free access to Form to Win. It's a revolutionary app that analyzes past performance data in just minutes. Once again, go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players, for horse players. All right, we're going to start on the West Coast today, Bob, and three graded stakes tomorrow out at the Great Race Place, starting with race number six. It's the Grade 2 Santa Anita Oaks. Three-year-old filly is going a mile and a 16th on the main track. A short but sweet field of five that includes the undefeated Bob Baffert trainee Kinza.
Yeah, two of the best three-year-old fillies in America in this race. Kinza is undefeated. Nobody's really gotten close to Kinza. She was even money in the Las Virgenes on February 10th when she came up against her chief rival Copion, who's also a very highly regarded filly from the Dick Mandela barn. She beat her. Basically, Kinza broke sharply, and Copion chased her all the way around under Flavian Pratt, couldn't get to her. Copion is, of course, Kentucky Oaks eligible. I think she needs to finish at second or better in this race to get in. Of the other three, there are some new shooters. One of those is Corposo, who's trained by Peter Yurt and ridden by Diego Herrera. She was impressive in her maiden win on March 8th. Her previous race was behind a filly called Navy Bell, who we both sort of liked in the Santa Isabel, and she didn't really run a jump. This filly is very well-bred. She's by Vino Rosso. She's a half-sister to Drain the Clock, who won the Grade 1 Woody Stevens back when he was three. So pedigree's no problem, but experience is. I think she'll have to really, really significantly improve to make any impact on the top two. Sort of the obvious choice to finish third in here would be Nothing Like You, who's ridden by DeTore and trained by Bob Baffert. So you got two Bafferts in here, and you got one horse, Copion, who's capable, I think, of beating Kins. I mean, they're very even. Like I said, this is the second chapter in their budding rivalry. Mike Smith takes over for Flavian Pratt, and I think that judging by recent work, perhaps the tactics will be different. Kinza's drawn two, Copion's drawn three. I expect Smith to not let Juan Hernandez go on Kinza. Even if they duel, I think it'll still be those two at the end. I think Copion will get the better of Kinza in the Santa Anita Oaks.
Yeah, I don't know if 9-5 is a big enough price for me, but I liked Copion last time out when they ran against each other in the Las Virgenes. It did not work out very well at all. And I maybe Kins is just better than Kopion, but I'm going to try Kopion again. I think she and Kins are both very, very good fillies. And as you mentioned, Kopion could be a Kentucky Oaks filly. We'll see how she does tomorrow in the Santa Anita Oaks. Jumping forward to the ninth race tomorrow at Santa Anita, it's the Grade 3 Monrovia down the hillside turf course at about 6.5 furlongs. These are fillies and mares and just a field of 8 in this race. Morning line favorite is number 6, A.G. Bullet, for Richard Baltus and Umberto Rispoli.
Yeah, A.G. Bullet was very good in the Wishing Well, a restricted race. She also won the Lady Shamrock last year as a 3-year-old over this turf course under Dottori by a neck. She'd previously broken her maiden on this turf course, going 6.5 on the flat version as opposed to the downhill. Could not have been more impressive in the Wishing Well, specifically how well-balanced she was and how she handled the hill and turned well across the dirt strip. When Umberto Rispoli asked her, I thought she responded really strongly. The two main threats to her winning this are Miss Lizzie, who's the 5 horse in here, trained by Doug O'Neill, ridden by Hector Berrios. She also goes well in the downhill turf course. She had a bit of a tardy start in the Wishing Well, and she finished 3rd behind Ag Bullet. I think she's probably the best chance to upset her. Lucky Girl is kind of interesting in here. She turns back from route races. She has the pedigree for sprinting, but she'll be coming from way off the pace, and I just can't see him beating the favorite in here. She was so impressive in the Wishing Well. I think that she'll win, and 9-5 actually represents what would be her morning line price represents what would be a generous price.
All right, I'm going to another gray in this spot, and that's number 1, Graceland Gray. I think she might be able to get out in front of this field and just keep on going. I know that most of her races have been routes, but she has sprinted down the hill several times at Santa Anita, shows speed in most of those races. I think Juan Hernandez puts her right on the chooch from the get-go, and she takes him as far as she can, 3-1 on the morning line. I do have a question for you, and I should probably ask Frank Miramati this. So A.G. Bullet, A.G. is the symbol for silver on the periodic table, and A.G. Bullet is out of a mare named Noble Gray, and A.G. Bullet herself is a gray or roan filly. Do you think she is meant to be called A.G. Bullet or Silver Bullet?
I think the name certainly means Silver Bullet, but obviously Frank Miramati is one of those track announcers like yourself that will ask owners how they'd like the name pronounced, and she's been called A.G. Bullet in her races.
All right, well, there you go. Let's move on to the marquee event of the Santa Anita meet. That is race number 10 tomorrow, the Grade 1 $3/4 million Santa Anita Derby. 1 1/8 on the main track, 4 3-year-olds, field of 8. It is a points qualifier on the road to the Kentucky Derby, although the Bob Baffert entrants are not eligible for those points, and he has 2 of them in the race, Bob. Number 4, Imagination, who's the 8-5 favorite. Number 5, Winstock at 8-1.
Yeah, let's start off with a 2-horse Tapelo, and here he's trained by John Sadler for Eranis Racing. Umberto Rispoli takes the mount for the first time. He ran a good race in the El Camino Real. He ran 2nd, beating a length and a quarter, couldn't fend off Endlessly, who then went to Turfway Park and won the Jeff Ruby pretty impressively up there, and now is either under Derby consideration or they have the backup plan of the Crown Royal on Derby weekend, which is on the turf. Obviously, Endlessly's very good on the synth and the turf, and unproven on dirt. Tapelo is proven on dirt. In fact, he was right there ahead behind Imagination in a maiden race at Del Mar on December 2nd. Imagination and Winstock are the 2 Baffert entrants. I think the one that Dottori rides, Imagination, is the preferred one. He ran a bang-up race, best race of his life, probably in the San Felipe, winning it by a head after being bumped at the start. I'm not really sure what this Son of Into Mischief beat in that race, but he does have a very nice pedigree for 1 1/8, being out of an Empire Maker mare. Winstock went to Oaklawn for the Southwest, or that race that was blown apart by Mystic Dan on a muddy track, and he just didn't like those circumstances. So you got to put a line through that race. Juan Hernandez, who hasn't ridden him since September of last year at Santa Anita, takes back over from Kyle Frey here. He's a son of Solomini out of a flatter mare, so distance should be no problem at all. You know, they're talented colts, but when you think about it, they're probably somewhere between 4 and 10 in the Baffert barn, the overloaded Baffert barn amongst three-year-old colts. I'm going to select Stronghold. And I think Stronghold, you know, can win this or finish second and then line up in the Kentucky Derby. Finish second, well beaten by Nisos, who obviously his results, Nisos's results are beyond compare at this point. Then he kind of, he lost to Winstock in the Low Sal Futurity by a half length. Winstock had major advantage that day of breaking on top and seizing the rail under Frey. And then he went down to the Sunland Derby February 18th and ran a great race. I mean, he was really full of run. He won that race with something left under Antonio Frasu, who's become his regular rider, who rides a lot for Phil D'Amato, trains. And he had an eye-popping work on March 25th in preparation for this race, 5-58-2. I think the son of Ghost Sapper is absolutely primed for his best in the Santa Anita Derby. He's out of Spectator, who finished second in the Santa Anita Oaks behind Midnight Bisou, so a high-quality pedigree, and my pick will be Stronghold, too, for a minor upset in the Santa Anita Derby.
All right, I'm going to go for a big upset. I think there's plenty of pace in the race, and I liked what I saw from number 6, Tessuto, when he broke his maiden last time out. It was his first time not running with blinkers. He settled down well off the pace and closed with a rush to win going away at the one-mile distance. Doesn't look to me like any extra distance will hurt his chances. I know he's taking a big step up in class, but I like the pace scenario for this son of Munnings, and I liked what I saw last time out. He's 10-1 on the morning line to Tessuto for me in the Santa Anita Derby. Before we go to break, Bob, you quickly mentioned mentioned a little bit about Nisos and you know, what he's done is beyond compare at this point. If Nisos was not hurt and was eligible to run in the Kentucky Derby, from what we've seen from him right now and what we saw from Fierceness, who would be favored on the first Saturday in May?
I think Nisos would be. I mean, you'd have to assume that Nisos would. Are you saying if he was going to the Kentucky Derby?
If we knew that he was healthy, working well, and eligible to run in the Kentucky Derby.
And one thing is you'd have to assume that he'd run in the Santa Anita Derby, so that'd be a big factor. But I think, yeah, based on what they've done so far, I just think Nisos has turned so many heads and been so brilliant. And, you know, sure, you can question what he's beat, but he's really sort of, you know, kind of appeared to be, you know, mentioned in the same conversation at this early point in his career, is having, you know, brilliance like Flightline. And, you know, a lot of people crab Fierceness's form, I think unjustifiably, for being in and out. You know, they're two superbly talented colts, but I think Nisos would be favored.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to head to Kentucky. They've got a huge card tomorrow at Keeneland. And you're listening to the Am Wager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Fans, we really do have a great weekend of live racing lined up at Santa Anita Park. Today, of course, is the big day as we present the 87th running of the Santa Anita Derby. Among the leading contenders expected for this year's Santa Anita Derby are Maimon and Imagination for trainer Bob Baffert and Stronghold for trainer Phil D'Amato. A tremendous day of racing that features four other stakes, including the 85th running of the Santa Anita Oaks. A special wager will also be offered today called the Big Three Pick Three that consists of the Wood Memorial, the Bluegrass Stakes, and the Santa Anita Derby. A tremendous day of racing also includes Santa Anita's Derby Day 5K, a spring carnival in the infield, and a Santa Anita Derby Beer Festival. First post time today is 12 noon. The Easter Egg Hunt will now take place tomorrow, Sunday, April 7th, in addition to Fiesta de Santa Anita in the infield. For more information, go to santanita.com. The top jockeys, the top trainers, and world-class racing are all here at the great race place, Santa Anita Park.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. If you're struggling with mental health, you should know that there are resources out there that can help. And it's okay to talk about it if you need to. One place to get started with information is loveyourmindtoday.org. Loveyourmindtoday.org offers a range of guides, instructions, and insights for dealing with difficult situations or getting through a tough time. If you're struggling with mental health, get the help you need, because most people out here really care. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Goodnight Olive has the lead. Mary Quite Contrary trying to chase her down with an eighth of a mile to go, and Society is third back toward the inside. Goodnight Olive, just over a 16th to go. Mary Quite Contrary still trying, still two lengths away. The champ in front. Goodnight Olive chased all the way by Mary Quite Contrary. Goodnight Olive to win the Grade 1 Madison for Irad Ortiz Jr. in a successful season's debut. 1 minute 23.12 seconds.
Kurt Becker on the call last year. The Grade 1 Madison won by the champ Goodnight Olive. This year's Madison, one of several Grade 1, or rather graded stakes races, tomorrow out at Keeneland. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Before we jump into the Keeneland action, it's time for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. NYRA announcer Embriel retires after 44-year career. The New York Racing Association announced April 4th that John Embriel has retired as NYRA's track announcer, ending a distinguished 44-year career at NYRA, in which he called many of the biggest races at Saratoga, Belmont, and Aqueduct. Embriel's tenure with NYRA dates to 1979, when he won a New York Daily News contest, which gave him the opportunity to call a race and work with the NYRA press office. In 1990, the Queens, New York native became Tom Durkin's backup and along the way took on other responsibilities at NYRA by working with Harvey Pack on the popular Inside Racing program and various roles within NYRA TV. In 2023, Embriel transitioned from full-time to seasonal duties as the primary announcer at Belmont Park and at Belmont at the Big A Fall Meet. He handed the Saratoga baton to Frank Miramati, who called his first Saratoga meet in 2023 and will return this year. Also in 2023, Chris Griffin joined NYRA to become the track announcer for the winter and spring meets at Aqueduct. With Embriel's retirement, Griffin will expand his role and handle all race calling duties at Aqueduct. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The April issue of Blood Horse Magazine Tablet is out and features over 130 pages, including Building a Connection, Churchill Downs and Keeneland delivering fan-friendly paddock experience to their fans. More Than Luck, Hard Work, Strong Ethics, and Doing Right by the Horse of shape trainer Christophe Clement's successful career. Professional Challenges, Myriad Reasons Behind North America's Equine Vet Shortage. Doing It Right, in a welcome collaboration, Keeneland and FanDuel TV produce quality programming for their customers, as well as Why It Work, Kentucky Derby hopeful Sierra Leone shines light on longtime breeders Debbie and Jack Oxley. Download a copy of the April issue now from the Blood Horse Magazine tablet app via the App Store or Google Play. Order a copy at shop.bloodhorse.com or subscribe today and save $13. Go to bloodhorse.com/lucky. All right, let's get back to the handicapping, Bob. Five graded stakes tomorrow at Keeneland, starting with race six. It's the Grade 3 Commonwealth. 7 furlongs on the main track for the four-year-olds and up. Strong field of 9 gathering for the Commonwealth. And favorite all the way down on the bottom is Minnesota Ready for Tom Amos and Tyler Gaffleone.
Yeah, I'm going to start with Manny Waugh here, the 3-horse trained by William Walden with Flavian Pratt, kind of an eye-catching booking. He's an 8-year-old entire, and he's 5 for 44. earnings approaching $1 million, and the best race of the best two races of his life came on this main track at Keeneland. He won the 2022 Grade II Phoenix, and then ran a massive race at 55-1 behind Elite Power and CZ Rocket and Jackie's Warrior, all monsters. And that year's edition of the Breeders' Cup Sprint. He was trained by Wayne Catalano then. Turned over in the late fall to young William Walden, who obviously laid this horse out with this race in mind, ran a good tune-up race in the holiday cheer at Turfway December 30th, and then ran twice, two good seconds, both at Aqueduct in the Grade 3 Toboggan and the Grade 3 Tom Fool, behind Super Chow, who will be one of the favorites in a race we talk about later on the Aqueduct card, the Carter Handicapped. So he's a very interesting entrant. It'll be interesting to see if he's capable of reproducing his best as an 8-year-old. Minnesota Ready, who I was surprised to see at 9-2 in the morning line. This is one of those horses formerly owned and raced by the late Bob Lothenback with Neil Pessin as the trainer. Unfortunately, Mr. Lothenback died over the winter and dispersed most of his stock, and Minnesota Ready was one of the prizes of that dispersal. They paid $380,000 for him, or specifically Richard C. Colton Jr. did. Turned him over to Tom Amos, ran him in the Colonel Power February 17th at the Fairgrounds, a race that came off the turf, was rained off the turf, run over a sloppy track, and he ran a big race, and he beat Just Might and Pirate Rick in there, and I was very surprised to see him at 5-2, because he's 0-2 at Keeneland. He's 4-22 lifetime. Look, there's a horse in here that stands out. It's a 7, Hear My Song. Trainer William Stinson, small stable, basically is following the same game plan in which he won this race last year. And when he won it last year, he beat Hoist the Gold and beat him fair and square, ran a massive race. He'd prepped in the Big Daddy, did the same thing this year, ran 6th in the Big Daddy last year, ran 6th in it this year. He's training right along at Indiana Grand for Stinson. I like the fact he drew an outside post. I think he'll lay in mid-pack, make a swooping move around the turn like he did last year. I think the Big Gray will repeat in this race. I think it's a pretty exciting betting proposition. He's 9-2 in the morning line. And he might go off a little bit higher than that based upon the lesser-known connections.
All right, I'm going to go with even a bigger price, number 8, Call Me Fast, who is more of a router than a sprinter, but he has won sprinting at Keeneland in the past, and I think he's been keeping some pretty good company, maybe better company than what he's going to see tomorrow, running against horses like Rattle and Roll, Giant Game, Last Samurai, just to name a few. This is his first start 2024, so I don't know if he's going to be cranked up for his best, which is the only thing that scares me. If he was 8-5, I'd be betting against him, but he's 8-1, and I know that he's capable of running with, if not beating, this caliber of competition. I'm going to take a shot off the layoff with the Mike Pewich trainee, Call Me Fast, in the Grade 3 Commonwealth. Race 7 tomorrow is the Grade 2 Appalachian, this for 3-year-old fillies, going 1 mile on the turf, full field of 12 gathering in this race, and slight favorite on the morning line is the number 10, Pounce.
You're going to start with the one-horse poolside with Slim, a filly that I'm following. I think she's an excellent filly, very attractive, daughter of Churchill out of an epaulette mare, and Rusty Arnold trains her. Brian Hernandez takes over. It'll be her fourth different rider in her fourth race. She drew the rail again, I think, which is a little bit of a negative. It seems like Hernandez will have to send her from the inside. She ran a pretty good race in the Florida Oaks last time behind Waskasu, who would definitely fit with this bunch. Dancing in Dixie, who finished third in that race for Mark Cassie, comes back. So I'm very interested to see if she takes a step forward. The most interesting entrant to me is Caryou, the 5, for a lot of reasons. She's been racing in Ireland at tracks like Nace, the Curra, and Dundalk. She won her first two starts pretty impressively. And she's owned by Marty Schwartz, who, of course, has owned many good turf horses here for a long time. and Michael O'Callaghan, who trains her in Ireland. I think it's just a temporary deal. She's been turned over to Cherie DeVoe, or maybe she's going to stay here and race in this country. She shows a couple of works at Keeneland. She has abundant ability. It'll be interesting to see how she performs in here. And if you like Pounce, 3-1 is probably a fair price. She was awesome in the Here Comes the Bride on March 2nd. She beat Life's Inaudible and Ozara, who would also be certainly be short prices in this field. But I could not have been more impressed by a 2-year-old filly on the turf last year than Buku and the Jessamine. She ran a monstrous race. She really flew home. Daughter of Justify. They sent her out to the Breeders' Cup. She got beat 2 2¾ by Hard to Justify. Notably, I've seen it on the work tab. She's working very well for her 2024 debut for Chad Brown. I don't think that was a bad effort in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies turf. And her trainer, Phil Bauer, is outstanding off of long layoffs. Martine Garcia retains the mount. I think if she's anywhere close to 41 in the morning line, Buku rates a big chance in the Appalachian.
All right, I'm going to go to the new shooter, Kariuk. I'm good enough to beat Group 3 competition in Ireland. It's good enough for me tomorrow in the Appalachian, 9-2 on the morning line. Other one I'm going to use is Pounce. I have nothing against Pounce. I think her last race is clearly best of those who have run in this country, but I'm going to try the new shooter, Kariuk, with Irad Ortiz Jr. in the Appalachian. Race 8 is the Grade 1 Madison Filly and Mare Sprinter, is going 7 furlongs on the main track, field of 8. And it's number 8, Vava, the 2-1 morning line favorite.
Yeah, the two horse in here, Red Carpet Ready. Rusty Arnold has done an outstanding job with her. Luis Saez will be riding this Daughter of Oscar Performance for the 6th time in a row. She ran a great race, her comeback race. As you can see in her form, she has a lot of layoff lines. She apparently is fairly difficult to train, but she's 5-for-7 with a third, and she ran a mighty race in her last March 9th, her comeback race at Gulfstream. Really, really good horse. Mary Quite Contrary, who only got a length by Goodnight Olive in this last year, comes back up from Florida, one of the best Florida-bred sprinters in training. And, you know, this is a division that's been cast wide open by the retirement of Goodnight Olive. We thought she was going to race, and they changed their minds. And, of course, the passing of the late, outstanding, incredibly fast Echo Zulu. So just like the boys' sprint division, this is wide open. I expect Mary Quite Contrary to make her patented late bid. But I'm going to take a major upset in here, and that's the 7 Big Pond, trained by Tim Yakteen, ridden for the first time by Flavian Pratt. I think that form she showed when she got beat by Daddy's Ruby in the Grade 1 La Brea at Santa Anita is not bad, but she was mighty impressive against a similar group in the Spring Fever for Statebreds under Dottori. And the way she finished that race, which was run 6 furlongs in 109-1 at Santa Anita, was mighty. And I think if she can improve on that a little bit, she can surprise this field in the Madison.
All right, I'm also going to try for an upset. Number 1, Sterling Silver, who's really in fantastic form right now when she runs on dirt. She's won her last 3 tries on dirt, 2 of them at Aqueduct, 1 at Tampa Bay Downs. Never hit the board at Keeneland, but she's a much better mare now than she was when she was running at Keeneland. And I think there's enough pace in this race to set it up for somebody from off the pace, and that could be number 1, Sterling Silver, who is 6-1. On the morning line. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're not done at Keeneland yet. We've got the Grade 1 Bluegrass to talk about. AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
You're listening to Spectacular Bid Week on HRRN. Presented by Keeneland Sales.
When the spring meet ends, summer success begins. Buy, sell, fresh winners, hot prospects. One night, one chance. Finish strong. Don't miss out. The Keeneland April Selected Horses of Racing Age Sale, Friday, April 26th.
While serving in Afghanistan, I was shot in the head by sniper fire. The fighting was so intense, the medevac chopper was barely able to land. I was given a 5% chance to live. I'm Adam Alexander, and I'm a veteran. Today, I visit classrooms and talk with kids about dealing with life's struggles. I tell them With a little help and a lot of work, that you can overcome any challenge.
DAV helps veterans like Adam get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
I know that some struggles are big and some are small, but they're all struggles, and you have to learn to get through them. With support from DAV, more veterans like me can live their best life. And as a new father, I have one more reason to keep on keeping on. My victory is being there for the next generation.
Adam Alexander, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Spectacular Bid. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Now fourth, but they're tightly bunched. It's a four-horse race right across the racetrack now. And here is Spectacular Bid as Ron Franklin calls and says, let's go now. That goes for the lead on the outside. A lot of gold along the rail is still second. Bishop's Choice comes into third. Espionis backs on into fourth. And they're coming to the half-mile pole, heading for the far turn as Spectacular Bid draws out the lead by 2.5 lengths. A lot of gold is second there, just a neck in front of Bishop's Choice third. It's 2.5 lengths to the Trailer Pianist. Spectacular Bid is not increasing that lead as a lot of gold now comes into second place, just 2 lengths back of the leader. Spectacular Bid by 2 lengths. A lot of gold is still second, and it is Bishop's Choice now fading back there to third. It is Spectacular Bid that leads as they come around the turn, and we've got a quarter of a mile left at the Bluegrass Stakes. It is Spectacular Bid that's on the rail with a lead. A lot of gold is still there in second place, and it is Bishop's Choice fading it even more distant third, and Pianist is out of it. Spectacular Bid is out there by 3, now make it 4 lengths. It is Spectacular Bid. Franklin waxing with a whip, and he draws out to lead it by 4. A lot of gold is going to be second, and that's the way this race is going to end. It is Spectacular Bid coming to the line with his ears pricking, and as he hits the wire, he is 5 lengths the winner over a lot of gold second.
That was the 1979 edition of the Grade 1 Bluegrass, won by the great Spectacular Bid. This, of course, Spectacular Bid Week here on HRRN, presented by Keeneland Sales. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Before we get to this year's edition of the Bluegrass, we have one other graded stake to talk about. It's Race 9 tomorrow at Keeneland, the Grade 2 Shakertown for the 3-year-olds and up, sprinting 5.5 furlongs on the turf. Full field of 12, Bob, including the 2022 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprinter, who, by the way, won at Keeneland, Mischief Magic.
It's impressive. That day came from absolutely nowhere under William Buick. Buick stays at home this time. Mischief Magic has been plying his trade in the Middle East this winter, running okay, third behind Emirati Anna last time, who didn't do much in Dubai. It'll be interesting if he can reclaim that spark that he did back in 2022. He's only a 4-year-old, and of course he's trained by Charlie Appleby for Godolphin. I had a really hard time. I'm kind of interested in your thoughts on this, Bob, when we get to your preview of the Shakertown. I don't know who's going to be on the lead here. I can't tell whether it's going to be Sosua Summer, who, of course, the very aggressive Luis Saez rides. He beat Just Might from Just Off the Pace and Minnesota Ready last time at the Duncan Kenner at Fairgrounds. Bad beat Brian, a 7-year-old who's run some really good races and likes to race on or near the lead, could be the answer. But my selection, because I think he's going to be laying close enough to the pace, is Beer Can Man. A lot of Flavian Pratt for me at Keeneland tomorrow, and I think I feel very confident in turf sprints when I've got Pratt riding for me. Rides this one for Phil D'Amato. They're 4-for-9 in the last 60 days. Draws a much better post than he did in the Woodford here or the Breeders' Cup turf sprint. And he's 7-for-18 lifetime. I just think Beer Can Man is a very good horse, and I think he can win this. And I'm very pleased. And hopefully that morning line price of 8-to-1 will hold up on the 4 Beer Can Man.
Yeah, I can't figure out who would be a big favorite in this spot. I think number 12, Yes I Am Free, makes the lead in the race. Doesn't necessarily mean I think he's going to win. I've always been an Arzak fan. I liked him in the Woodford at Keeneland last October when he got the job done at a big price at 11-1. I don't see why he can't get the same type of trip tomorrow in the Shakertown, 4-1 on the morning line for the team of Mike Trombetta and Irad Ortiz Jr. I think he's certainly one of the ones in here. He'll be my top pick in the Shakertown. Featured event tomorrow is the Grade 1 Bluegrass $1 million on the line. Kentucky Derby points abound, 1 1/8 on the main track for the three-year-olds, and a strong field of 11 going to post in the race, Bob, including the first and second place finishers from last year's Remsen, Dornock and Sierra Leone.
Yeah, it catches my eye. Of course, we know that Sierra Leone comes from way back and came from way back on a wet track in the Risen Star. Chad Brown enters a couple of horses. Top Connor, the one horse who broke his maiden, going a one-turn mile at Gulfstream last time, laying pretty close to the pace. And Good Money, who set the pace, set a contested pace in the Tampa Derby before getting beat three-quarters of a length by Domestic Product, No More Time, and Grandmo the First. So, I think are those two in there just to ensure an honest pace for Sierra Leone? They very well could be. I'll be interested to see how the public responds to the six horse Just a Touch, ridden by Florent Giroux for Brad Cox, obviously an abundantly talented son of Justify, won his maiden easily on Sealed Slip of the Fairgrounds, showed up in the Gotham, and finished a good second behind Deterministic, who will be the favorite in the Wood, who we'll talk about in the next segment. First time on a fast track, two sealed slop tracks, one at Fairgrounds and one at Aqueduct for Just a Touch. He'll run on a fast track. He's been working very well in the mornings at Keeneland on a fast track. And I know you're not going to like my selection. You know you're not a big fan of the horse, but I think that Danny Gargan has Dornock absolutely primed for his best. Sharp work at Palm Meadows March 30th. A lot of people crabbed his performance when he beat Les Dames Bro rather unimpressively in the Fountain of Youth March 2nd. A lot of people were pretty hard on Fierceness when he ran third in the Holy Bull. I think you'll see a better performance from Dornock. He broke his maiden on this track really easily. I think he's much sharper today. I think he'll win the Bluegrass with a couple lengths to spare.
All right, I am going to go with one of the ones you mentioned, number six, Just a Touch. I have full respect for some of the others in here, but I think this horse is a horse that's going to be serious down the line. By Justify out of a Tappet mare, I think the longer he goes, the better he goes. And he ran well when finishing second behind Deterministic last time out in the Gotham. I think a repeat of that race makes him the one to beat, and he's not going to be favored. I certainly would use Sierra Leone. I think Sierra Leone won in the Risen Star despite not even liking really the surface that day, and he was still good enough to get the job done. So I respect both of them, but I'm going to put Just a Touch on top for the very minorest, if that's even a word, of upsets in the Grade 1 Bluegrass tomorrow at Keeneland. Let's jump on over to Aqueduct. They've got four graded stakes on their Saturday card, first of which is the Grade 2 Carter, 7 furlongs on the main track for the older horses. Field of 5 in the Carter, and it's number 3, Post Time, the 8-5 morning line favorite.
Yeah, this looks like as far as I can tell, there's 5 in, or it looks like a 3-horse race. Super Chow, who I mentioned earlier, who's beaten the 8-year-old Manny Waugh twice in a row, has done nothing wrong on wet truck tracks at Aqueduct, won the Toboggan by 4.25 in hand. Madison Olver rides him for Jorge Delgado. And then he came back in sealed slop and won the Tom Fool. A similar type performance. He did drift out badly, is the chart comment, in that race. I don't know what to make of that, but a lot of people view that as a negative. Certainly he's been working well since the race, so I would brush off those concerns. My concern would be really more the track condition, and we'll have to monitor that on Saturday. Aqueduct has a pretty unclear weather forecast. I think we'll get fast and firm at both Santa Anita and Keeneland, and improved weather at Keeneland tomorrow. But Aqueduct, it can always be a wet track there. And if it's a wet track, that definitely improves the chances of Super Chow. Petulante is in here for the Dutro Barn, formerly trained by Vic Barboza. I'm turned over to Dutro. Ran a good race behind Kinetic Sky in the Stymie, his first race for Dutro. Joel Rosario takes the mound here. Of course, he's in town to ride Deterministic. He likes to lay close to the pace, going a mile. He should be competitive going 7 furlongs. But really a rising star in the sport to me is Post Time. The 3 for Sheldon Russell is the jock, and his wife Brittany Russell trains. This horse, if you throw out the Perryville, in which he had a poor start at Keeneland last October, he's never lost. And I think he's good at any distance between 5.5 furlongs and a mile. And in fact, 7 furlongs might be his optimal distance. Working very well, and I think it'll just be too much. I think he'll come off up from off the pace and just swoop him and win going away. That may be the case.
Post Time may be just better than this field, and certainly his last couple of races, speed figure wise, point him out. I think number 5, Petulant or Petulante, I don't know how they pronounce it, is a serious racehorse. He's obviously had issues in the fact that he's a 5-year-old who's only had 7 career starts, but he's never run a bad race in his 5 starts. And I think he may be better sprinting than being an extended sprinter router type. They've been trying him at a mile his last 4 starts, and even though he's won 3 of the 4, I think he may be more effective at the 7-furlong distance. He should be one of the ones Post Time has to pass. And that may not be that easy to do. So I'm going to take number 5, Petulante, in the another minor upset in the Grade 2 Carter tomorrow at Aqueduct. We're going to take our final break. When we've come back, 3 more Aqueduct stakes to talk about, including the Wood Memorial. This is the MWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough, just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's 7 members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the 1 in 3 could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Pre-Diabetes Awareness Partners.
Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
Please join me in welcoming Hall of Fame trainer Todd Fletcher.
Hall of Fame trainer Nick Zito on Trainer Talk. Welcome Hall of Famer Bob Baffert to the program. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, nice enough to spend some time with us. Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott here on Trainer Talk. Dual Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Sirius 162, XM 207, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Easy Goer has the lead by 1. Rock Point on the outside, second at the rail. Triple Buck coming into the final 16th of a mile. Easy Goer has the lead, goes off by 2. Rock Point second, Triple Buck third. The Wood Memorial goes to Easy Goer with Patrick. Holiday aboard, winning it by about 3.5 lengths. It's a photo between Rock Point and Triple Buck for the place in show spot.
That, of course, was the 1989 Grade 1 Wood Memorial, won by Easy Goer, New York's Easy Goer. This year's Wood Memorial takes place tomorrow out at Aqueduct. Welcome back to the Amwager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Folks, Amwager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus, plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's that easy. Once again, link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. Amwager, built by horse players, for horse players. Continuing on, Bob, with the big card at Aqueduct tomorrow. Race 6 is the Grade 3 Distaff for the fillies and mares, sprinting 7 furlongs on the main track. Field of 6 in this race, including a filly who has won 5, or rather a mare who's won 5 in a row. That's Hot Fudge.
This is a good renewal, Bob. 6 horses in this $175,000 race. You can make a case for all of them, including Apple Picker, who won the Grade 3 Barbara Fritchie last time, February 17th at Laurel for Team Russell. She'll make her Aqueduct debut. Linda Rice won 5 races on Thursday at Aqueduct. So, you know, she usually puts up, you know, around 20% winners, but she's in sparkling form. She sends over both Ain't Broke and Hot Fudge. Again, it'll be interesting to see what the track condition is, because Ain't Broke appears to be clearly a better horse on a fast track, and Hot Fudge is going so well right now, she can run on anything. Basically, she runs the same race every time, but she certainly knows where the wire was, and she proved that in the correction over Sealed Mud, over Can't Hurry Love, who ran a great race. She, I don't know how she mowed her down, but she did. The sixth horse in here, Sheeta Booty, trained by Chad Brown, returns to the races. Was running very well last year, finished 3rd in the Gazelle. On this card, it's nice to have this Daughter of Practical Joke back. But I'm a big fan of Fingal's Cave. Fingal's Cave has had a interrupted career. She raced August 26th of 2022, in which she won the Fleet Indian at Saratoga, going 1 1/8 in the mud. Obviously did not come out of that race well. Didn't race for 2 more months, ran okay after a bad start and her only loss. And then she was laid off from October 22 of 2022 to December 28th of 2023. And she came back in the Bay Ridge for State Breds with a mighty effort. Outstanding training job by David Donk on that occasion, which she beat Venti Valentine, who's a nice filly. And she did it in hand. She's working right along. Jose Lescano, who rode her in her last race, stays aboard. And I think Fingal's Cave has the back class. Interestingly, she's by Carpe Diem, the same sire as the Bob Baffert-trained Kinza. I think Fingal's Cave is kind of special, and when she's at her best, she's mighty hard to beat, and I think she can be the one that finally ends the win streak of Hot Fudge.
All right, I went off the rails here with number 3, Royal Poppy. Simple equation for me. The races she's been running against allowance competition, speed figure-wise, are about as good as these other ones have been running in stakes competition, which tells me that either the allowance races have been really good or the stakes races have been maybe a little bit below par for that level of competition. But at 10-1 on the morning line, I'm going to give Royal Poppy a chance. She has been in the money each of her last 5 starts, albeit against technically softer competition. 8th race tomorrow at Aqueduct is the Grade 3 Gazelle for the 3-year-old fillies, going 1 1/8 on the main track. We've got a field of 10 gathering in the Gazelle, and slight favorite on the morning line is number 5, Life Talk.
Yeah, this is an interesting renewal for sure. For one thing, Val Brinkerhoff, I can't recall the last time you ran a horse in New York. He shows up here with a maiden, an 0-for-7 maiden, from Santa Anita, who ran 2nd behind Kenza, beaten 5 lengths in the Santa Isabel, in that race on March 9th. Jose Lescano picks up the mount. And the outstanding morning line odds maker at Aqueduct made her 7-2. So that's kind of interesting. It might be just a huge tip of the cap to the ability of Kinza, which, you know, neither of us are going to argue with. I think the four horse in here, Barbara Tina, is a very interesting entrant. This is Rosario and Cox. Interesting booking in that Rosario are hardly ever rides for Brad Cox. She ran two really good races on the Tapita at Turfway, including a second behind Maxi Superfly in the Cincinnati Trophy. She's a horseback Catholic Boy, a filly that I think, you know, should be able to handle the added ground, the mile and eight, but there's still a question mark that around that in her first race around two turns. There's a huge amount of speed in here, and including Life Talk, who interestingly Todd Pletcher reaches for the blinkers. And in addition to her, you've got Carmelina, who loves to be on the front for Butch Reed, who's done so well with his shippers in recent months. Money Grab has some speed. I think it all sets up really perfectly for Jin Jin. Jin Jin didn't run too bad and over Sealed Slop on the Busher, but before that, in the mile and eighth, Busand on January 13th, she looked like a true nine furlong horse. She won by a length over Princess Mayfair. It was nine lengths back to Shimmering Allure. I like the jockey switch here from McCarthy to Manny Franco, who obviously is sort of the kingpin of the winter racing at Aqueduct. And I think this three-year-old Hightail filly, a Calumet homebred, can win the Gazelle and then go on to the Kentucky Oaks. I think she's going to love the distance and the pace.
All right. I'm not going to give my pick out yet because this is the race where my Am Wager best bet is going to take place. But Bob likes number 7, Jin Jin, who is 5-1 on the morning line. 10th race tomorrow at Aqueduct is the big one. It's the Grade 2 Wood Memorial. Three-year-olds going a mile and an eighth on the main track. Lots of Kentucky Derby points available. 13 of them set to go to post, including the impressive winner of the Gotham, Deterministic.
Yeah, the Grade 2 Wood Memorial. There's a couple of horses in here. I mean, I think basically Uncle Heavy's interesting. It's a shame he drew the 13 hole. He's a Pennsylvania bred, trained by the aforementioned Butch Reed. His regular rider, Michael Sanchez, rides him back. He'll be closing. He ran a great race to get up over the very tough El Grande O, who's in here in the Withers. I think the post might be his undoing. I hope he runs well. Tuscan Sky has shown a lot, including a win over Nash, who we know is very good. He won that $200,000 listed stakes at Oaklawn a couple weeks ago, very talented Godolphin horse. But it's hard for me to get past Deterministic, you know, for the main reason that Rosario showing up to ride him in the Gotham was a glowing endorsement. There was a caller on the call-in show that day who said there's a number of tracks that Joel Rosario could have shown up at, and he showed up here to ride him in the Gotham, and he ran a huge race over Just a Touch. I think it's his number 1 3-year-old, Christophe Clement, Joel Rosario, Deterministic. I think he's a very talented son of Liam's Map, and I think he wins the Wood and heads to Kentucky for the Derby.
All right, I think Deterministic can win the Wood. I think he can win the Derby as well, but I'm going to try to beat him in the Wood with another horse that I think can not only win tomorrow but win in Kentucky, and that's Todd Pletcher's Tuscan Sky. Loved what I've seen from him both of his career starts. I think there's no reason he can't continue to improve. 4-1 on the morning line. This is a very, very good field gathering, especially the ones at the top, Deterministic, Tuscan Sky. These are both real serious three-year-olds, I think. They both have a big chance in the Wood. Just because of the price, I'm going to take Tuscan Sky, but I'm looking forward to both of them hopefully heading to Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby. That's 12 races. Time now for the Am Wager Best Bets.
The Am Wager Best Bet.
Best Bet.
All right, Bob, you get to go first, my friend.
Yeah, funny with all this great, incredible racing, we both wind up with our Am Wager Best Bet in a Grade 3, and it's the Gazelle. I just think that, you know, look, Jin Jin drew inside post in her last two starts. She gets a very nice post in the 7 for a closing bid. Her dam, before you know it, finished second in the Grade 2 top flight here in 2015 under Manny Franco, who rides her for the first time. I think she'll pick him up and win the Gazelle, the seven-horse Jin Jin.
Okay, I think I owe you a slice of pizza or something from a loss in the Louisiana Derby a few weeks ago. So I'm hoping to I can double or nothing on that wager. I think number one, Where's My Ring, lays over this field. I pray we get 7-2 on this Val Brinkerhoff shipper, who in my mind has been facing so much better competition of late, it's not even close. Three of her last four starts have been against either Kinza or Just FYI. Either one of those fillies would be 1 or 2 to 5 if they were in this race. And by the way, she didn't run terribly against that much better competition. I think it's a good rider change going from Espinosa to Lescano, even though Espinosa has the better resume for a career. I think right now Lescano is the stronger of the two. I like being drawn inside with a shortish run to the turn. All systems go. I not only think Where's My Ring wins tomorrow in the Gazelle, I think she wins by daylight in the Gazelle. Please give me 7-2 for my AM wager best bet of the weekend. Want to remind everybody, tomorrow morning, nice edition of the Equine Forum. Our good friend Mike Penna wraps up spectacular bid week presented by Keeneland Sales with Keeneland's announcer Kurt Becker. Miguel Clement discusses Wood Memorial favorite deterministic. Breeder Robert Clay talks about breeding both Mage and Dornock. Santa Anita's Jeff Chapman previews the Santa Anita Derby Day Stakes. Plus, our good friend Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick Four, shares his thoughts on the Derby picture. Joe Christofek provides this week's triple play. I'll be along with the Calling All three-year-old segment presented by Spendthrift. Kurt Becker once again remembering the great spectacular bid in his weekly stroll through racing history. Dale Roman's Tim Wilkin tackle the sport's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. A full 3 hours tomorrow morning on the Equine Forum, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, every Saturday morning, Sirius 162, XM 207, online channel 999, or on our website at horseracingradio.net. Bob, I don't know how what I exactly I lost to you in that other wager where you had Honor Marie, who I think finished second in the Louisiana Derby, and I had the shipper from Tampa who ran about fifth or sixth in the race. What do you think we should wait? Because I really like this filly tomorrow, and it sounds like you really like Jin Jin. So the wager, first of all, you got to finish 1, 2, or 3 in the race to collect. We're not trying to collect from each other if you run a bad sixth and I ran a bad eighth in the race. That's no good. At least one of them has to run a decent race. So you got to finish
one of them
in
has
the
to
top
hit the
three.
Board.
And let's face it, if our best bets neither one of them hits the top three, we don't deserve to collect it.
We don't deserve
anyway
to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yet.
All right. So what do you want to bet on this one tomorrow, my friend?
I'm sure I'll see you in the next several months. I'll bet a steak dinner, Bobby.
Steak dinner it is, my friend. And I'm not. We're not going to Golden Corral or somewhere like that.
Sizzla.
Yeah, or you know, I've even driven past like some like Dollar Generals that advertise that they sell steaks. I'm not looking for whatever that kind of meat is. We'll find somewhere good. But I agree. Okay, so once again, the wager is I've got Where's My Ring. Bob's got Jin Jin. We're actually both of our AM wager best bets take place tomorrow in the Grade 3 Gazelle at Aqueduct, and we're both picking against the morning line favorite, Life Talk. I don't have anything against Life Talk. I just happen to think Where's My Ring is better.
Yeah, no, it's just one of those situations. I just think it's a negative in graded stakes when a trainer makes a significant equipment change. And I think that, and obviously Kendrick Carmouche and Todd Pletcher win a lot of races together, but I think Blinkers On is worrying for me. I mean, she was bad on the Suncoast. It has a desperation feel to it. Maybe she hasn't trained on Life Talk.
All right, well, looking forward to seeing what happens not only in the Gazelle but all of the other big races tomorrow, especially those Kentucky Derby preps, if you will, the Bluegrass, the Wood, and the Santa Anita Derby. I don't know if you realize this, Bob, but after tomorrow, there will only be one Kentucky Derby points qualifier left on the schedule, and that is next week's Lexington Stakes at Keeneland. So basically, by the end of this Saturday, we're going to know about 90% who's going to be in this year's Kentucky Derby.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, the charismatic route to the Derby, of course. So it can be done.
It can be. Don't forget, Steve Asmussen had that horse last year that needed a third place finish to get in, and ran third and then ended up running fourth in the Derby. So it can be done. That's going to wrap up a fun edition of the Am Wager Weekend Stakes Preview. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Bob Nastanovich, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great weekend at the track, everybody.